we don't need anything else than what we actually are in order to connect to God. And the Rebbe says, you can meditate on God. There are different ways of doing this and ideas and so on. But the point is, you don't need, like, again, an external, I don't have the exact word, something that changes, an external influence on you, like physical influence on you, like take pills and it's going to change your mind and change your heart. No, you don't need any of this. You do need external things because something you don't know, somebody has to teach it to you or read it in a book, whatever. And that's an external thing that you incorporate in yourself. And that also changes, so to speak, your way of thinking, your way of feeling. But I mean, like a physical aid in order to change yourself, in order to connect to God and higher worlds. We don't need this. We have everything we need. Just, you know, go into yourself and learn Torah and keep mitzvahs. Okay, the Rebbe goes on with that path, so to speak. What I find very interesting is that the same exact thing applies to alcohol and all the other drugs. All of them. In most of the cases, as far as I know, the addict is actually trying to escape her situation. And by taking the drugs, you basically escape your reality. And you go into a different reality. Different drugs, of course, produce different realities. Like cocaine is going to produce that a person is, I'm all powerful, I can do anything I want, I'm fine. And on the other hand, completely different, marijuana is going to produce everything is okay, no problems in the world. You're not all powerful, you're just, whatever. It's fine, I'm happy. So it's different feelings, different drugs produce different feelings. And psychedelic drugs, of course, you start. I remember there's a guy in La Plata where I lived. He was a big musician and whatever. It's a whole long story, but he was a drug addict, like hard one, in the late 60s. He's already like 80 years old. So he explained, very interesting, I used to take drugs and I saw the music. He produced music, so I saw the music. What? I saw it. It was flying and okay. Very nice. But that's about the idea of the letter of the Rebbe. I can't remember exactly right now where, but there's a phrase, just a small phrase in the Talmud, where it says, don't take, in Hebrew we call it samim. Samim means like drugs, basically. But don't take these things because they change who you really are. It's not you. And to serve God, again, you don't need not to be you. On the contrary, you have to be yourself. And God is expecting each one of us to serve Him the way we are, with our capacities, with our ideas, and so on. But there's no reason to take drugs. Now, when it comes to alcohol, I can give you my humble opinion, but you should know that not everybody agrees to me, which is okay. There's no reason why everybody has to agree to me, and see it completely different. So having said that, I'll give you my opinion. Alcohol is also a drug. It's also a drug. Of course, you can become addict. Of course. That's why alcohol, how do you call it? AA, anon, whatever, yeah. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. It is a drug. And it is a drug that the Torah at some point says, oh, this one is an interesting one, but be careful. Like, Torah doesn't say don't drink alcohol. No, we don't hold like that. Like, for instance, Islam is going to tell you no alcohol. This guy, Mormon, no alcohol, forbidden. I can understand it. Torah doesn't say that. Torah says control it. But it's very interesting that most of the, let's call it, evil things in the world, Torah is going to tell you no, out. Alcohol, Torah doesn't say no, it says control. There are certain days in the year that Torah even gives a permission to get drunk. people sometimes are very strict with that and they get completely drunk. But there are certain days, Purim, Simchas Torah, the Torah says, okay, you can want to get drunk, get drunk. It's fine. Even the Talmud says. But even in that case, it is very clear in the text of the rabbis and the Torah, whatever, that be careful not to become so drunk that you're going to lose it and start doing things you're not supposed to be doing. I heard a story from a rabbi. I don't remember exactly when I heard it, but I suppose I heard it in some Farbrengen and in some of these Hasidic meetings, that a rabbi was saying that my grandmother, like of this rabbi, so we're talking about at least 100 years ago, at least, my grandmother in Russia used to go to school. And in winter, the winter in Russia, you know, it's pretty hard. So my grandfather used to give my grandmother a cup of vodka before leaving the house. You're talking about a small child. Maybe she was less than 10 years old, maybe 5, 10, whatever. He used to give her, this little girl, a cup of vodka. She used to woof, drink it completely like that and come on, go to school in the winter of Russia. That's what he said, which is, besides the colorful story of the little girl drinking the vodka, the point is, it's something that's going to keep you warm while you have to walk in the street, whatever, 30 degrees Celsius under zero, and it makes you function. I can understand in that context. It doesn't really sound nice, but I can understand it. But today, what do you mean? A 10-year-old, you're going to give a cup of vodka? You're nuts. What do you need it for? No. It's not. And you don't need the energy. You don't need the heat. You don't need any of this. Okay. Having said that, again, that I can understand where Chabad comes from, Russia, and they used to drink so much and so on. Today, it doesn't make any sense. Okay. So one thing that our sages do say is enters wine, come out secrets. This is one phrase that our sages bring in the Talmud. When wine enters the person, secrets come out. And it's seen as a positive thing, as a good thing, not a negative thing. Like secrets you're not supposed to say. No. It's taken as a good thing. An interesting idea. And then the Hasidim heard once when they said L'chaim, you know what L'chaim means? Okay, yeah. When people say L'chaim, they heard once the Alter Rebbe, the founder of Chabad, saying L'chaim ve'libracha. I'm sorry. L'chaim ve'libracha, which would translate for life and blessing. That's the translation. And the Hasidim, when they heard this from the Alter Rebbe for the first time, they were like, ooh, why is he answering L'chaim, like I say to you, L'chaim, and you say L'chaim v'levracha. Why is he answering like this? And the Hasidim were discussing between them after the Farbrengen with the Alter Rebbe, they were discussing what this means. And they gave two explanations. Explanation number one, the first time that men took wine was a very, very sad situation. What was the situation? When Noach came out of the ark, in Parshas Noach, he came out of the ark, world was completely destroyed, and he planted a grape tree. And of course, time passed, grapes grew, and he produced wine, and he drank the wine, and he got drunk. And there's a whole story by the end of Parshas Noach, how one of the children of Noach, Ham, that was his name, he actually violated, like raped his father. That's one version. Another version is he actually cut his father's whatever down there and he made a whole problem for his father. So we see that the first time that one was drunk, it brought the opposite of blessing. I read it wrong. The opposite of blessing. That's why when we drink the wine, we say lechaim for life and for blessing. That was explanation number one. Explanation number two, very deep and interesting one, because when we drink wine, we soften our hearts. What does that mean, to soften the heart? And how do you see it over here? Because the word livracha, which means for blessing, that's the translation. Livracha means for blessing. You can actually take this word and cut it into two. Liv in Hebrew would be lev, which means the heart. And racha means soft. So livracha means lev racho. The reason why we drink wine or alcohol, whatever, is to make our heart soft, softer. Which would, what does that mean in the context of a Torah meeting and people talking about Torah and talking about God and so on? It means that throughout life, our heart gets hardened and we lose sensibility to spiritual things and godly things and so on. So we drink a little bit of wine in order to soften the heart and be able to absorb, so to speak, words of Torah, words of good things, of serving God, and so on. That's the second explanation of lechaim belibracha, for life, and to soften the heart. Why are you drinking it? To soften the heart, or because you're a drunkard, and you like the alcohol and the effect, and so on?